Thank you, Brother Gall. I'm so glad the blood covered me, aren't you? Amen. This morning, I want you to go to one of the familiar passages in the Word of God. I want you to go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, I'll not go through the story in detail. We had our camp speaker on the last, I believe the last night of the service out there, do a thorough job on Luke 16, and God blessed it. But I'm going to have a little bit different thought from it this morning. Luke chapter 16, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this. There's so much truth in the passage, I'll not be able to take time to point to all of it, but I hope you know much of it. I'm going to take this truth out of it, though. I want to preach to you on the subject, places you can't leave. Places you can't leave. Now, a lot of folks know about places they can't go, but you ever think about places you can't leave? I think about the soldier boy that called in to his captain. He said, "Captain, I'm out here. Said I've captured 10 men the enemy to bring to his prisoners." He said, "Well, good. Bring them on in." Boy said, "Well, they won't go. They won't come." He said, "Well, then come on by yourself." He said, "Well, they won't let me go either." Now, some of you pick up on that just a little bit. But there's some places also that's pretty hard to leave sometime. This week we had a good week out at camp. The preaching was good. God was good to us in the weather. I even heard some kids say the food wasn't bad. You know it's a good camp when they don't complain about the food. Amen. So we had a good week out at camp. And Brother Parsons told me, said some of them was actually saying, as we got down to time to leave, "Well, why don't we stay a couple of more days?" And I thought, that is a good camp when they're not ready to leave yet, you know. But we've all been somewhere we'd probably like to leave. Could you think of a place? You ever hear somebody say, "When I got back to America, I wanted to kiss the ground"? Well, I think some of us have been there too. Look at it here in chapter 16 of Luke. We'll pick it up in verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores, at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they should come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he saith unto him, and he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets," he's talking about the books they've written, "neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Yeah. You know what? This rich man, and it's not a parable, it's a story. Jesus identified his parables. He didn't identify this as a parable. And there's a lot of truth that we could know about here in this passage. That's not the direction I want to go this morning. For instance, somebody asked a whole lot of questions. Here you have a lot revealed in just this story. You got a man in hell that has a soul body. That body's got eyes. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It's got a tongue. It was burning. He thought earthly element of water would fix it. He thought maybe that would be. But we find the biggest thing here, he wanted to get out, but he couldn't. And he couldn't get anybody else to go either to his house to warn his brethren. We've all been somewhere probably where we would like to have gotten out. This week in the news, the president got in a whole lot of trouble by telling some folks if they didn't like it in America, they ought to go back. Now, somebody gave me a bumper sticker that says, love America or leave America, something like that. That's pretty good. I may put it on my car. But the truth of the matter is, the news media is totally out of touch with old America. The president's not in a heap of trouble over that with me. In fact, they said, well, he had that terrible scene where he was having a rally in North or South Carolina, and the crowd got to chant and send her back. I thought, well, that rhymes good with lock her up. The truth of the matter is, though, on this thing is that if you're going to come to my house and I'm going to invite you in, I'm going to feed you and I'm going to take care of you, don't start tearing my house up. I'm going to send you back. Amen? And this liberal news media is out of touch with America. The truth is, we are compassionate. We do love folks. We don't want to help. We want to help folks. But when you come in, don't try to destroy us with the same junk that you're running from out of your country. Amen. And that's exactly what socialism and all this other mess is. If it didn't work for them and they're trying to escape their country, why in the world do they want to put us on us? And why in the world would America be so dumb as to vote it in? Amen. Oh, it's ridiculous. I saw the flag out west there where a mob was storming the ICE building, the military building, and they raised the Mexican flag over the American flag. You see that? That's terrible. I saw where Nike couldn't put a flag on their shoes, American flag. I want to tell you, if you don't love the flag, you don't belong here. And I don't mind saying that. They had some Baptist church out in Texas had on their marquee outside, on their sign outside, America, love it or leave it. That's okay with me. I mean, I don't see a thing wrong with that. And it is a ridiculous today that we can have a Miss Omar running around with dressed like a Muslim in a Muslim religious thing. Her religion would cut your head off if it came to power in America. I got a paper laying on my desk right now showing patrol cars painted just like you'd expect a police car to be, and it's Muslim patrol, and they got about 30 of them in Detroit and other big cities, and they say it's a city coming to you. They're going to paint up their own patrol cars and do their own policing on Sharia law. It's not going to work in this town. And there's a lot of other towns it's not going to work in. But they're doing that right now in America, and it's working big time in England, in London. Now, some of you folks, you may not have been to a church like this in a long time. Buckle your seatbelt. Hold your breath. Because if you leave, we're going to know which side you're on. Hear me good. I am on the side of America. I'm on the side of what this book and godly values teach me, and I'm not shy about saying it. And I think we need to get over the shyness that got us in the mess that we're in now, where a lot of Americans need to speak up and won't. Amen, Nikki. I like that preaching. Amen. This so-called squad, if their politics come in, you'd lose your freedoms. One of those freedoms is to go out there and get in your car and go where you want to. We got that one woman, Miss Cortez or whatever it is, her name said you got to get rid of your gasoline, you can't fly the airplane, and she's getting to the place she wants even to do get rid of the cows. I wonder if she thinks cows are the only ones that pass gas. I don't mind being plain with you. If you got to the place we got to explain things we used to not have to explain. Amen. Amen, Mickey. That's two amens I've gotten this morning, both for myself. Amen. But I want to tell you, there's some places you might want to leave from that you can't. There's some nations in this world you can't leave from. I've been over in Russia twice. Maybe it's a little bit better now. But when I went over there the first time, the Berlin Wall was still up. I just reached in my pocket and pulled out a piece of the Berlin Wall, literally a piece of it. Missionaries that saw it broke down sent me a bigger hunk than this. I put this up here. I want to tell you, it's America that has to build the walls to keep people out. The other nations build them to keep them in. And there's some nations you can't leave from. When I was over in Russia, they could not just leave like we can. In fact, I thought it was pretty sad. I mean, even in the hotel where we were staying, it was amazing how many of them were just begging for an excuse, somehow get me to America. They were saying that. I remember Dr. Bob Billings was with us. Brother Cone, I see you back there. Brother Cone was with us. And remember right there in that hotel, right in the center of Moscow, Brother Billings slipped up. There was a nice-looking lady behind the counter, very much into all the business of behind the counter. And Brother Billings said, was talking to her, and he said to me as I stood there, he said, you know, this lady's got a degree in higher mathematics. And he said, you know, you'd like to have her as an employee in your college. I said, sure. Boy, I shouldn't have said that. I almost had to bring that lady home with me. The truth of the matter is they want out and can't get out in many nations. That's true in Cuba. That's true in a lot of other places. It's not true in America. You can pack up and leave. And if you're not forced, that might be good advice. Amen? You know, it was sad to see their desire in a way. You know, a lot of them, and Brother Cone, you remember this, a lot of them were trying to get married to anybody. They didn't even marry me to got to come to America. Amen? I mean, you see that stuff. You see some of these old men with one foot in the grave going over hunting an 18-year-old bride. And she's stupid enough to marry him if he'll bring her to America. I mean, that's crazy. What are we doing in selling our country down the river when everybody else would love to be here? But they can't leave where they're at. They can't leave where they're at. There's a lot of nations like that. It was sad to see that. It really, really was. Cuba's an example. We've seen all the boats try to come into Miami, haven't we? And thank God some of them made it, and we were able to accept them. And by the way, there's a little bit different attitude with some of them coming in down there. Have you noticed that? Some of them thankful to be able to get here. Across the ocean, they even make boats out of cars. Has anybody seen that? Of course, I've seen some cars that'd be a better boat than they are a car, but anyway, they got across the ocean. That's true with so many. But I'll tell you something, you get some people from down there, they'll tell you they don't socialism. They know the difference. They know what it is when you can't get groceries, and they know what it is when you can't earn any money and all the rest of it. You talk to some of those folks. But I want to say to you, there's some nations you can't leave. Then I want to say there's some spiritual places that you can't leave. Did you ever read the Bible about Esau and Jacob? You remember how the story went. Esau come in from hunting. He was famished. Jacob was a mama's boy cooking, I think, lima beans on the stove, whatever they were. Pottage, the Bible says. And old Esau thought he was going to starve to death. And so Jacob was smart, though. When he wanted some of his food, he bargained with him. And Esau despised his birthright. Now, that's a bigger deal than you think. That was the birthright as the oldest. The birthright was that he despised. He was despising God. He was despising God's plan. He put the physical and the immediate satisfaction of the flesh over the spiritual side. And the Bible says later on, though he sought it with tears, he could find no place of repentance. He couldn't get right with God. Here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying right now there are people in this country, maybe in this building this morning, that has despised the things of God, and they've gotten like Esau till they're right about to cross a line to where God says, that's it. No more chance for you. I believe whosoever will may come, but I also believe you can spurn the grace of God one time too many. In Noah's day, you have a whole generation. The Bible says that that they spurned the preaching of Noah over there. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Let me ask you personally, has God's spirit been striving with you? How long? This week? Month? Year? 6 months? 10 years? You're on dangerous ground. Esau maybe thought, well, one day when things get bad enough, I'll turn to God. No, 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 no. If there's anyone teaching in this scripture I just read you, most awful picture here is not the flame we read about the rich man was in. It's not the fact he couldn't get any water. It's not the fact that he couldn't send a missionary back home. The biggest thing this rich man had right here was the finality. He couldn't get out. It was final. No hope. I've read where they do some psychiatric tests on some people. I've read where the military many years ago sometime would take a few men that they were expecting to go into hard times in the war and all, and they would test them, and they would put them in a room, and they would be locked up and to the place that they were practicing. So it was what torment in prison would be if they were ever captured. And they were testing those men and to see where the breaking point would come. And I read where the thing that finally broke those men was when they first went in, they had a button they could push. That button said, I've had enough, let me out. And they had the hope and they knew at any time I can get out if I just push the button. And so they went through a lot of stuff, bad stuff. And they said the thing that finally broke them in was when the button was removed and there was no hope. Wow. I want to say to you, don't fool with God so long that the button gets removed. You can push it today and call on Jesus. There may be a day you can't find it. Like Esau, you can't find a place of repentance. Yes, there's some places spiritually that you can't leave. Esau couldn't leave. He was stuck. You say, well, God discriminates. Well, you can call it that if you want to. That's a bad word today. The only sin the liberals know today is discrimination and racism. That's the only two sins they recognize, and they're so mixed up on what they are, they don't know nothing about it. I mean, you consider the foolishness today. I saw where a Christian school that came in up north, it's in court right now, I'm following it because it's going to get here. It's going to get here to our Christian school and other Christian schools. Christian school up north, they went in and they took the handbook, the rule book of the school. We got one. Any Christian school worthwhile's got one. And they went through the rule book and found out, as a Christian school, they believed marriage was between a man and a woman. That's Bible, by the way. And so they've charged them with discrimination. Well, our school could be charged with that. We believe marriage, as the Bible says, between a man and a woman. That's what we believe. Sure, we believe it. And that's where we've moved to, this charge of discrimination. It really is amazing. You know, we only about won an election from that stuff being here. Had we lost the last one, help yourself, you in my house now where I've been, and I've been here so long, they hadn't run me off. They probably won't run me off over this. The truth of the matter is, had we lost the last election, we might not have a Christian school right now. And we certainly wouldn't have the radio station. Not talking like it talks now. Not doing as it does now. Not with the preaching that's going on it like this right now. We wouldn't have had it. You folks get careless and you sit on your hands and you let the enemy take over. You almost deserve it when we let them come in because we won't go to the polls and vote. Amen. Help yourself, Mickey. I'm fishing for a third amen, Mickey. I want to tell you, there's some places you can't leave. There's another one. I find it in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16. There's a place called the sin unto death. Did you ever read that in your Bible? All right, I'm over in John chapter 5. Pick it up with me then if you want to. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So what is that talking about? It's talking about you can cross a line with God. Now, that's probably talking about God killing somebody in this life prematurely over what otherwise would happen, a sin unto death. That's serious business, folks. Most preachers can tell you, and they won't preach it, and they don't want to talk about it much, but most of us can put names and faces on people we have ministered to in our ministry that we believe God Almighty took them because they committed a sin unto death. They couldn't get out of it. They couldn't leave it. It was a place they couldn't leave. So I don't like to hear that. Well, don't listen to it, but it's still in the book. It's called a sin unto death. You know, you go up to Atlanta, Georgia, and they got, what is it called, Rock Mountain? Anyway, you can get up there. I've been up there when my grandkids was little and they were living up in Atlanta. We went up there and we got on the mountain. And you get on top of it, this big bare rock, so to speak, mountain. And down around the edges, they've got a chain link fence and they've got signs. And they tell you, don't go down any further than this. It's the point of no return. You can't climb back up. You ever been on a roof where you couldn't come back up, but you're fearing you was going down? Well, on a much bigger scale, that's what Rock Mountain is. I'll be preaching sometime before Christmas up in Niagara Falls. I don't know if I'll actually go to the falls. I have been to it. I've seen the signs and I've read the history of it. Some idiots have gone over it in barrels and some have lived and some haven't and all that kind of stuff. But they say there's a point of no return as the water progresses toward the falls. And you cross that point of no return, you can't turn around and go back. You can't get out. You can't leave. You're doomed. You're going to go over the falls. Now I want to say to you, there's a lot of spiritual situations where folks are about to cross the line with God. They're about to commit the sin unto death. They're about to go too far. And so what is that sin? It's a sin of presumption, presuming on God. It's a sin against knowledge. Do you know something? It's one thing to sin ignorantly, but it's something else when you know better. It's something else when you have been warned. It's something else when you're clearly slapping God in the face. Oh, yes. Presumptuous sin. No doubt about it. You had knowledge. Pilate, I've talked about him in Sunday school. He was trying to get out of crucifying Christ. He kept saying, I find no fault in this man. He kept trying to make excuse, but he trapped himself politically. Politically, correctness was very much involved in the crucifixion of Christ. And it's like it's involved today in all the foolishness we could name to you. But Pilate tried to get out of it. And in the extra biblical records, historical records, not Bible, it says that when he had Christ before him and had him brought into the judgment hall, I point out in Sunday school that the word again, he brought him in again, brought him in again, brought him in again. And the records say this, that when he came in the first time, the Roman guards with their staffs, poles, we'll call them, had standards on them. The standards were flags, the Roman flags. And on the head of those poles, look at the flagpole right over there. You see the eagle? That's pretty much what we're talking about. The eagle also represented Rome, but it also represented the deity of the, as they proclaimed it, for the Caesar and for their leaders. And it is said that when those soldiers marched Jesus into the Pilate's hall, that those soldiers with those staffs, with those standards on them, with those flags on them, with that head of gold or brass or whatever it was, it says that the flags automatically bowed in the presence of Jesus. And it caused a big fuss. The priest said the soldiers done that. They did it. Pilate said, let's send them out again and see if it happens again. They brought them out again. This is what the records show, the records that was recorded in the Roman archives. The records say that when they brought them in again, that the standards did the same thing. They bowed again. Pilate was really on a spot. You know what he was seeing? He was having God give him a message that Jesus is God. He asked in the Sunday school lesson we had this morning, "From whence art thou?" He was saying, "Are you an alien? Are you from planet Mars? Where are you from? From whence art thou?" He was afraid he was what they charged him with, the Son of God. And it is said in the records that the standards bowed. I didn't say it's in the Bible. I'm saying it's in the historical records. You can read it. You can read it. Did it happen? I don't know. But I know this. One day Caesar will bow before him. And all false gods, all dignitaries, they'll bow before him one day. No doubt about it. They will. You see, though, here was a place Esau couldn't get out of. He sought it with tears. He couldn't make it. He couldn't get out. And there's a place, according to 1 John 5, called the sin unto death. And it's too late to pray for it. Too late. But I finally want to point to you this morning the place identified in the text we read in Luke 16 where the rich man was. He couldn't get out. He couldn't leave. He couldn't get away. He was there. It's a place he couldn't leave. You know, the rich man wanted to go. I'm sure he did. There's a book, a classical book. It's called Dante's Inferno. And it's a book written a long time ago describing the imaginary thing with a lot of scriptural background, what hell must be like. Dante's Inferno. And if you open the book, an artist drew a picture on one of the front pages. And it's a pretty thick book, and it's very detailed of the hordes of people that die and go to hell. It's not a fun book to read. It's a hard book to read. But on one of the front pages, it's got a picture, and it shows the entrance to hell. And it's got a sign over the big door, as it were, carved in stone, and it says, "All ye that enter here, abandon all hope." Abandon all hope. See, the rich man had no hope of getting out. He was stuck. He couldn't leave. He couldn't leave. While some folks can leave America today if they want to, and maybe should, there's a lot of other places we can leave. You can leave church and never come back and hear it again. You can. But there's some places that you can't leave. And one place is if you go to hell, you're stuck. You're there. You're there. You can read in the Bible how to keep a man out of hell. But you can't read in the Bible how to get a man out of hell once he goes. He can't leave that place. Can't leave that place. Can't leave. Rich man wanted to, couldn't. Revelation says it's forever and forever. Folks, that's a horrible thing. Somebody says, "I just don't want to believe in hell because I just don't believe somebody would go and hurt that long." Well, then your arguments with God, God that gave his only begotten son to keep you out of hell, your arguments with him. What an awful price he paid to keep you out, to keep you out. It's an awful thing to think about. I had a relative, one that as a little boy, I looked up to. One's a little boy that sometime I sat on his knee. As a little boy, I sometime got in his toolbox and messed things up a little bit. And I really didn't know all about my uncle. To me, he was good. To others, I found out later he was not. But I do know this, as he died, and I was not there, but his own kids told me, as he died, he cried out, "Help me, I'm feeling the fires of hell. I'm slipping into hell." Now it hurts me because, like I say, he was good to me. He was good to me. But he's in a place he can't leave. He's there. He can't leave. Like the rich man, he can't get out. If you're going to do something about it, you better do something about it before you get there. It's not a return ticket. You're not going to get out. We hear stories of near-death experiences. Maybe some of it's true. And some that believe they slipped right up to the edge of hell and God let somebody resuscitate them. Maybe so. Maybe so. I don't know. Many of you know my personal testimony. I didn't get saved until I was 22 years old. But when I was 14 years old, on a Sunday night, I sat on a bench right outside that old hotel there where the college and radio station is. And about 7 o'clock, a big car stopped, brand new car. A bunch of my friends in it. When I got in it, I made six. There was six of us in that big old Oldsmobile. Brand new. Boy's daddy had just got it, and he'd lied to his dad and told his dad, I'm going to church tonight. So his dad gave him the car, and he come picked us all up. And we went out spinning the wheels and having a time in that big old car. And I got details in the book back there, and I won't go into any details. I kind of tell it with a little bit of humor sometime, but I want to tell you it was a dead serious thing that night. Dead serious. When we started home, because one of the boys said, it's about time for church to be out, you better get the car back home. We started out from Winter Haven and went around a big curve and had a terrible wreck. I can still remember it almost like it was last night. Seeing the lights go up in the sky, hearing the glass break, hearing the boys scream. It's a terrible wreck. And then as it rolled over on its top and rolled up in a barbed wire fence and electrical wires and stopped on its top, it was totally quiet. And it was totally dark. Mother had always told us boys there was a hell. She had a lot of it right. She didn't have it all right. She didn't have it all biblically right. But she said, it's a place of darkness. Mama, how can there be fire in hell and it be dark? She said, I don't know, but it is. Scripture teaches that. She told us about screams and people couldn't get out. She told us the devil was in charge, and of course he isn't, but that's what a lot of old-timers thought. That's what she told us. And she told us, you'll never get out. She was right. When that car quit rolling that night and stopped on its top, total dark. All six of us boys, quiet as could be. Scared to death, but we didn't know what had happened. It was too fast. It was too fast. I was laying in the middle of the back seat on my back on the top where that little round globe light is in the top of the old cars. It was in the center of my back. I know that now. All I knew was it was dark, and I believe with all my heart I was in hell. I believe for 30 seconds probably that I was in hell. I was looking for the devil to show up. I was scared, petrified, because mama said you can't get out. If you ever go, no other chance. You're there. And by the grace of God, all of us lived. And I remember getting in the back seat of the highway patrol as he took us home that night. And I remember some of the boys saying, we'll never speed again. And I remember the highway patrolman laughing. But you know what I was thinking about on the way home? I thought I was in hell. I thought I was there forever. That there was no hope, no way to get out, no place I could leave. That's what I thought. Well, it was about 8 years later that I went to a church and heard the good news. I can be saved from hell. Never go there. Never be there. Never want to leave because I'll never be there. And I heard the good news that Jesus loved me and died for me and shed his blood for my sins. And I got saved. And I've never feared hell since. But if you're here and you've never received Jesus, you ought to fear it. You ought to fear it. It's a place you can't leave. It's a place you can't get out of. Do you know Jesus? He's the only one can keep you out of it. Have you let him save you? If not, I pray you will this morning. Let's bow our heads. heads bowed. Christians, will you pray with me? There might be somebody here much closer to hell than we think. One heartbeat away, one car wreck away. We don't know. We don't know. But we know we can tell them how not to go there. That is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that loved them and died for them. And I want you to pray for them right now. Had some kids saved at camp this week. Wonderful. Right here in this building today is a good place to get saved. Not fear hell. Never have the terror that the rich man had begging for a drop of water. Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, it does touch our hearts that somebody's going there because they won't listen. They're going to get in a place they can't leave. Father, I still, as I relive the story I just told again, thank you so much. I never have to fear hell anymore. My sins are paid for. My name's written in your book. And if you call me with a heart attack or a car wreck or whatever, it's going to be all right. Now, Father, I pray today as we give an invitation, invite men and women to do what I did and others did one day, and that step out and come forward and openly confess our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for them right now. Father, I pray they would come and get rid of this thing of ever fearing what's going to happen to me when I die. Bless the invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll receive Christ, will you meet me here? Oh, friend, don't leave this building in doubt. Be sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come? Come on as we sing. Just